Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, Lord of creation, by your word the heavens were made, the sky was filled with the starry host by your breath, the seas were gathered and the storehouses filled. You spoke and it came to be. May we be amazed. May we revere you and be filled with awe. May we know your miracle working power in our lives. May your wonder fill this place now as we worship and adore you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 1 concludes with Andrew, Simon, Peter, Philip, and Nathanael following Jesus. Chapter 2 opens with Jesus and his disciples at a wedding at Cana in Galilee. Mary, Jesus' mother, is present too. But we've seemed to jump in time. Where is the calling of the rest of the disciples, James, John, Matthew, and the others? Why is John's book so different? The Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke are referred to as the synoptics. Synoptic means to see with a common view. Synoptic literally is together, see. The three cover many of the same events, and if you knew some Greek, you could do a fascinating study using colored pencils, comparing the testimonies of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew was written by the Apostle Matthew, extensively refers to the Old Testament with an eye towards a more Jewish listener. Mark, who is also known as John Mark, knew the apostles and was a close companion of the apostle Peter. Luke, written by the physician Luke, after careful research and interviews with focus on compassion of Jesus, had towards the outcasts. Luke was a traveling companion near the apostle Paul, too. These three record events of Jesus to some extent with different stresses, highlighting different parts, for each was written for a different reader, a different listening audience. And these three were written before John's testimony was written. The Gospel of John, there it stands by itself. It's unique in form. John does not put things in chronological order per se. John puts together a narrative to make clear the divinity of Christ Jesus, Son of God. Word became flesh, dwelt among us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. John includes seven signs, what we call miracles, to point us to Christ and to show Christ as the Son of God, so we believe. Many things we have learned about Jesus' life are found only in the Gospel of John, such as the raising of Lazarus, and in particular, through the seven I am statements of Jesus. We are drawn to see Jesus is God, making the connection that God we see in the Scripture, in what we call the Old Testament, is indeed God. Come in human flesh and dwelt among us. I am the good shepherd. For example, Jesus says, John in his writing, and I invite you to remember and encourage you to remember, all Scripture is God-breathed by the Holy Spirit. So John in his writing fills in details, adds to the witness. John gives great detail to the Passion Week especially the night Jesus was betrayed. John, being more introspective and theologically focused, to proclaim Jesus is the Son of God, that you may believe and have life in his name. With that, let's go to a wedding in Cana. Begin by remembering betrothals would last up to a year in length. The wedding feast would be the celebration, a year and possibly sometimes a little more than a year in making. Excitement would have been building for many months. Many customs and rituals would have to take place before the wedding feast could begin. So the wedding feast was very special, and preparation had been in the making for a long time. To run out of food would be in bad form. To run out of wine, oh, the embarrassment. Imagine you are there. Out of wine? What do you mean we're out of wine? I'm sorry, but the jars are empty. Go find more. The wedding feast must go on. Without more wine, the guests will go home. The servant sees Mary. Mary, we're out of wine. Do you have any nearby? Please help. Mary goes over to her son and the disciples with him. Jesus, they're out of wine. They have no more wine. Woman, why involve me? My time has not come. Jesus answers with the understanding look between a mother and her son, knowing all that Mary has treasured up in her heart. Mary returns to the servant who is standing in the corner, wringing his hands as he frets about what to do. And Mary speaks to him, "Listen to my son. Do whatever he tells you to do. Do whatever he tells me and the other servants to do?" he asks with incredulity. "Yes," Mary gently answers with emphasis, "do whatever he tells you to do." Jesus walks over to the servants. "See those jars? Fill them with water." Fill them with water? What good would that do? We need wine for the wedding feast. Fill them with water. Jesus gently says, and at the same time, something resonates silently from him. "Fill the jars with water, all six jars. Fill them to the brim. I'll wait here." The servants fill the jars. It's a big production to fill six jars with about 30 gallons water each. They need to carry 180 gallons of water to fill those six jars. And those are large jars. 30 gallons of water in them? It'll weigh over 250 pounds. 180 gallons of water? 1,500 pounds of water. That's a lot of water. With backs bent over from carrying all the water, the servants walk back over to Jesus. And Jesus looks at the servants and says, "Draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." The servant stares at Jesus and doesn't move. He just stands there staring, wide-eyed, jaws dropping, stumbling over the words, "Draw some out? Take it to the master? It's water! Draw some out. Go ahead and take it to the master. Take it to the banquet master. The servants walk away and glancing over their shoulders as they go, mumbling and muttering to themselves, take some to the master? It's water. Looking over the shoulders and still trembling. But as he looks again at Jesus, he experiences a penetrating look. And it's beyond description. It's compassion. It's encouragement. It's beyond description. But still with the trembling hands, they draw out some water and they start walking to the master of the banquet. And as he goes, he's muttering to himself, I'm in big trouble here. This is water. And hesitantly he says, Master, here is more wine. All the while trembling with fear, for he knows it's water that they filled in those jars. And he knows it's water he drew out into this pouring pitcher. It's water. It's wine. And the biggest grin you have ever seen fills the face of the master of the banquet. This is wonderful wine. It's the best I've ever tasted. And calling over the bridegroom, he commends him. The best. Jesus gave the best. But the best came by doing something that just seemed crazy to do. Obedience was essential. It's an essential part. Obedience is essential. Do whatever he tells you. A large part of walking with the Lord is doing things that do not make sense. But we do them out of obedience. That is what builds faith. Because you have to trust the Lord to take him at his word. Noah built an ark. Abram, leave your home and go to the place I will show you. Rahab, tie a red ribbon in the window. Gideon, defeat the huge Midianite army with 300 and use only trumpets and torches. David, challenge Goliath with only a slingshot and a stone. Elijah, stand on the hill all by yourself and pour water all over the sacrifice and then call down fire from heaven. Widow of Zarephath, feed the prophet with the last of your oil and flour. To the widow with only a small jar of oil and creditors coming to her, take her sons away. Elisha said, go ask your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then behind a closed door, pour oil into all the jars. Over and over and over again throughout Scripture, blessings come because of obedience was following the word they were given. Blessings come from doing what the Lord says, do. Here are three things you can do in your walk with the Lord that will bring blessing in your life and blessing in another person's life. Even this very day, forgiveness. Yes, forgiveness. The hurt and pain you have experienced from another person. And that person has not apologized. That person is not even repentant in the least bit. Forgiving does not make sense. But that is what you are to do. Forgive. Forgive that person this very day. How about this very moment? Matthew chapter 6, verse 12. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Tithing. You may feel you barely have enough to get by. Tithe. 1/10 of my income, that would be. And then you start counting out the numbers. Giving that in worship and thanksgiving to you, Lord. Malachi chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have enough room for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. The widow of Zarephath experienced giving her all, and that flour did not run out. Her oil did not run out as she fed the prophet Elijah, herself and her son. The power of God. And I tell you from experience, tithe. And the Lord will do as he promises. He promises it here, and you will be blessed in ways inconceivable to your mind. And the Lord will bring blessings to others through you, because you trusted his word. Compassion for the lost. Are you afraid to get involved, to show the love of Jesus? I point you to the parable of the Good Samaritan. A friend, an acquaintance, a stranger may not be physically beat up, but that friend, acquaintance, or stranger can be spiritually beat up and dying spiritually. Bring Jesus into his life. Bring Jesus into her life. Bring that person to the church like the Samaritan brought him to the inn and cared for him. Care for their spiritual needs. Show mercy. These are just three of the many aspects of the Christian faith. When lived out in the fullness of meaning, with all the implications that entails, they do not make sense. But obedience brings about such blessing in heart and soul. A blessing in your life, a blessing in the ministry of the church, and very possibly an eternal transformation in your heart and in another person's heart simply by seeing your obedience in the way you live your life. Seeing your love for Jesus, seeing your dedication to your church family, seeing your priority to God first in all things. Obedience, it's hard. Your obedience in the hard things of the Word of God is very much a part of walking with the Lord by faith. Jesus, talk about obedience. Look to Jesus. He was obedient unto death, death on a cross. And his obedience brought about our redemption. A blessing that is beyond compare. His obedience brought about redemption, forgiveness of sin, and opened the way to heaven and eternal life. Without obedience, we would be lost in our sins. We would be dead. We would be lost forever. But Christ's obedience brought about the blessing of eternal life, forgiveness, your redemption. There was just something amazingly released by obedient faith. Remember, a simple mustard seed of faith can move mountains. Now, there's much more packed into this short event of the wedding at Cana. The first sign that showed Jesus is Lord, where the essential essence of water was changed to the physical properties of the finest wine without having to pick the grapes, without having to crush the grapes, without even taking the time to ferment the grapes. In a moment, water was wine. Power over the things of earth. First sign at a wedding. Blessing the covenant of marriage between husband and wife. More than we can cover this morning. But for you, I give you this. What is in your life that you have been praying about, thinking about, wishing about? And I don't mean the Powerball drawing. What have you been praying about, thinking about, burden of soul about, that you would like God to bring about in your life and in your soul? And so I ask you, are you listening to the small whisper of the Holy Spirit in your life? Like the servants listened to, go fill the jars with water. Is there a word from the Holy Spirit in your heart telling you to do something and you haven't listened yet? Go fill the jars with water. Listen, act in obedience, and a blessing will be in your life that will be exactly what your soul needs to grow in Christian faith. And like the wine, it will be the best. The water became the best wine. Do whatever he tells you. Your faith will grow. Your walk with the Lord will deepen in relationship. You will be blessed. You will be blessed. Another will be blessed. And it will be the very best. Amen. Amen.